Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Thanks for coming. I'm mad. I'm really mad. And what's going to surprise you, it's not the economy. It's the socialists taking over our country. Sit down. I'm not done. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Let me finish, please.
Yes. Excuse me.
Thank you. I think it's so important in today's country what we're really missing and what's going on. When you have an Obama, Pelosi, and the rest of the hooligans up there going to run this country, we got to have our head examined. It's time that you two are representing us, and we are mad. So go get them.
I think I got the message.
That's what happened today. That was an angry man at McCain-Palin rally. And, of course, unfortunately, we wanted McCain to have fire in his belly. People are screaming for McCain to become the old Navy pilot he once was. We know he's a war hero. And let us not for a minute run over that so quickly. Incidentally, you're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. McCain is a genuine war hero. He suffered for this country. He didn't crack. He has honor. He comes from a great family. We can trust him on national security. We cannot trust him on almost anything else. And that's the problem here. If he was clearly to be trusted on the economy and to be trusted on the borders and to be trusted on the onslaught of illegal aliens, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, would we? But we know we can't trust him on those other things. However, the other guy is so off the map, so far off the ken, out of the ken of reality. Obama is an unknown man, may not be a citizen, surrounded by radicals, surrounded by terrorists, that we have no choice. But we can't give McCain a free pass, and we're not going to do it. But I will talk about that today at the Savage Nation. However, I am here to tell you something else, and it's going to be a shock. I had made a promise to this audience approximately 9 months ago that after this election, I would create a new political party. Well, today, my friends, I'm here to tell you that I came in a month early. It is code red in the United States of America. It is code red because both parties are sacking this country. Both parties have sacked the treasury, and the only thing left for them to take is the granary. And believe me, unless they're stopped, they'll sack the food off your table. Your daughter will be sold in the street like a prostitute, and they'll tell you they feel your pain. These vermin don't care what is going on. Today, the stock market fell over 600 points. You know why? Because I'll tell you why. You know why, don't you? Short selling return. Now, you say, well, they can't do anything about it. Who's they? Do you know that short selling was stopped on September 19th? Do you know that it was permitted again today and the vultures moved in and short-sold companies such as General Motors, which has fallen now to a level as low as it was in the 1950s? Now, you may say, well, what can the government do about that? The government is doing this. Chris Cox should be in jail. Chris Cox is the man behind this. Chris Cox is the puppet of Mr. Paulson and the puppet of George Bush's cronies. Chris Cox is a criminal, in my opinion. Chris Cox needs to be arrested immediately. Why do I say that? Here's something that nobody has told you yet. Nobody in America's media has dug this up but me. But hold on to your hat because I found it today. Initially, the SEC said it would make short positions public. and it would disclose which investors were short selling. But under the latest draft, the disclosures would be made only to Chris Cox of the SEC. In other words, they're behind the short selling. They're behind the busting out of America's blue chip stocks. So if you say it's Soros, you may be right. But Soros is not operating in a blind. Soros is not operating in the dark. Soros and the other short-selling vultures are operating with full knowledge of George Bush and Chris Cox and Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke, and we the people are watching our country being decimated in front of our eyes, and we're not doing anything about it. And that's why I came in today. I came in today to tell you that I'm going to explore with you the creation of the Savage Nation Party. Great oaks from little acorns grow. As we can see, the gangsters working for Obama created a little acorn called Acorn. And from this little acorn called Acorn, they have created a great oak of voter fraud. So I ask you, what plank would you add to the Savage Nation Party? And what are the founding principles of the Savage Nation Party? It's real simple. Borders, language, culture. Neither candidate will discuss borders, language, or culture. Neither party will discuss culture, language, or borders. Why? Because both parties want to end our borders, they want to destroy our language, English, and they want to decimate our culture and roll us into the New World Order, whether we want to go there or not. They're going to drag us in kicking or screaming, unless we kick them out kicking and screaming. Now, I have no illusions about the power of these parties. They are the most powerful gangs in the history of the world, and they control your life from cradle to grave. And there is no question that terrible things are going to happen to me as a result of the creation of the Savage Nation Party. I have no doubt about it. But I cannot sit idly by and watch this go on any longer. I was not supposed to be on the air today. I was supposed to be in a house of worship, and I was supposed to speak to the Lord. And guess what? The Lord spoke to me instead. And he said, no, you have more important work to do. You have to go in today and you have to organize this country before it is too late to do so. And so I will say, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, the millions of you who listen to this show every day, the tens of millions of you who have gone to michaelsavage.com over the last year and said, Mike, leave radio and run for office. The 25,000 of you who sent money to my Savage Legal Defense Fund, I'm speaking to every one of you. I am exploring creating a new party. And here is my plan, and this is a very loose plan. I want to first of all need to organize a nonprofit party. I don't know how exactly it's done, so here's what I'm going to ask you. If you are an attorney who is familiar with the formation of political entities, political parties, PACs, or something of that nature, and you would be willing to volunteer your time to write the papers up to formally create the Savage Nation Party, I'm going to ask you to call the show and say you'll do it. And one of the guys working for this program will give you an email address that you can contact them through. We're not putting it out on the air because we don't want to receive 25,000 emails saying, go, Mike, go. We don't have the staff yet. So again, what is our first need? We need a lawyer who is familiar with the creation of political entities or a political party or a 501c3, whatever it may be. If you will volunteer your time to do the paperwork, that's the first thing we need. What do we need next? We need a place to meet in. This party must be formed in the San Francisco area because I live here. I don't live in Washington, D.C. I don't live in New York City. Right now, I happen to live in the San Francisco area. So I'm going to ask those of you listening to this show, if you know of a church that is out of business because America has been gutted out morally, if you know of a small church for sale with ample parking, or if you know of another commercial building for sale that would be suitable, please don't, if you're a realtor, just try to peddle a building. I'm not going to buy it. Or if you have a building that you consider that would be a good one, again, stay on the line and one of you will be contacted. Is the Republican Party dead? You betcha. Is the Democrat Party dead? It's corrupt. It's filled with voter fraud. It's worthless. As an American, how important would starting a third party be to you? Would you volunteer your time if it meant getting a Savage Nation candidate in office? Of course you would. I can guarantee you that I can get volunteers in every state of this country within a year. And my goal is to have the party created within a few months, have a building in which to operate within a few months, raise funds within a few months, staff it within a few months, turn this over to someone else within a few months, and get candidates on the ballot for the next round of elections, whether it be 2 or 4 years down the line. My guess is that we can have people in Congress within 4 years. We can have people in Congress within 4 years who will create a ruckus. They will create a ruckus. They will not let the machinery go forward. If it means not bringing money home to your district, well, so be it. I'd rather you not bring money home to your district than your district cease to exist because of the corruption that exists today, where Nancy Pelosi says, you know what, John or Jane, if you want money for that bridge to nowhere, if you want money for that overhead projector, if you want money for that youth center, you're going to have to go along and get along with the Democrat vote on this particular issue. And you'll have to say, well, Ms. Pelosi, with all due respect, the country comes first. You can take your money and you can shove it because I'm not going along with your plan. I suggest you watch Mr. Smith Goes to Washington because it's not going to be easy. You're going up against the most corrupt, dangerous people in the history of the world, and they're not going to roll over so quickly for you. But I am going to explore this with you on the Savage Nation. And again, I say to you, this is the best I can do for my country. This is my cause for the rest of my life. I am going to do it, and I'm going to do it not for you only, but with you. Without you, there's no party. With you, we own the country. This is the Savage Nation. Again, we're talking about two things. The collapse today of stock prices blamed on short selling. Short selling permitted by Chris Cox of the SEC, who is hiding to this minute the names of the short sellers because we should know who they were. I can guarantee you that if we knew who the names were of the major players on Wall Street who just busted out the stocks today, the people would be in the streets of America with pitchforks and shotguns. But the SEC said no. The latest draft of their rule says, well, we're not going to make those positions public. They're going to be made only to Chris Cox because he knows better than you. You're just a peon. He is the elite god from a great Republican background, and he doesn't need you. He doesn't want you. This is the Savage Nation, and the Savage Nation wants you for the Savage Nation Party. If you want to talk about this, call me. If you want to read about this, hang on, because we're going to talk about it today. Be here or be nowhere. Savage. So this is what I'm going to devote the rest of my life to, is the I'm exploring this today, the Savage Nation Party. I'm not going to run for anything. I want to make that very clear. I want to be the architect of this new party. I do not want to be the resident of the house that is built. I want others to enter the house and save this country. I want to be the founder of this. I want to be the architect of it. And others are going to help run it, and they're going to inherit this. We know that the two parties are too polarized to govern. It is not about partisanship, because there is no partisanship. That is the biggest game in town. There is no partisanship. They're both on the same side. It's just that they're making you think that they're working against each other. I am saying to you right now that the two-party system is dying. It is over. The Democrats, the Republicans, who I have called demon cats or Demikins or Republicrats since 1994, when I began on a little station in San Francisco, have seized such control of political power in America that they have now bankrupted the country, and they won't stop. You can make many comparisons. You can say that they're like gangsters out of control who won't stop until they're in prison. You could say they're like nymphomaniacs who can't have enough sex. You can say that they're like junkies who can't stop putting the needle in their arm. All of those analogies would be absolutely correct about both Democrats and Republicans. How else do you explain that you give AIG a bailout of $85 billion, and then yesterday we hear that Mr. Whoever, Mr. Treasury Secretary Paulson, gave them another $37.8 billion. That's $37.8 billion added to their pie. That's after they had a $440,000 weekend after the bailout. Nobody has gone to jail. Nobody has had their assets seized. Nobody has given up a dime. So if you were them, wouldn't you keep robbing the Treasury when the people are this weak and the people are this powerless? Sure you would. Who's going to stop them? Well, the government's supposed to stop them, but they are the government. You got the government robbing the government, meaning they're robbing the people. So I don't want to hear any more about, back this party or that party. As far as this election goes, I vote for McCain on national security issues only, one reason only, which is I trust him with not selling the country down the river to the Islamofascists. I cannot and will not trust this unknown entity called Obama. I will not turn the country over to him. I understand that McCain comes from his father and his grandfather, both very, very good American men, both admirals. That's good enough for me. A military family to me is platinum. It is platinum as far as I am concerned. I have no faith in McCain on any other issue. But if I have nothing else, I'll even take that sad old hack. I will never vote for a man who no one knows who he is. I will never vote for a man who did nothing for his country. I will never vote for a man who creates groups like ACORN, which are registering the dead and the unknown. I will never work for a man who has a birth certificate nobody can find. In other words, if you vote for Obama, you're insane. Sacramento Charlie, what do you say? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, is there any possibility to reconsider running yourself?
No. And I'll tell you why, Charlie. I'll tell you why Michael Savage will not run for office. The day I tell you I want to run for office, I have to leave radio. The day I have to leave radio, we lose the most powerful voice in America's media. You need me on the radio more than you can imagine. You need me more than you ever have needed me. You'll need me more in the next coming months than ever before. And I have to be here for you and everyone else, Charlie. Just let me be the man exploring the creation of this party right now. That's all I can do. We'll take it a couple of months at a time, Charlie. But we're going to save this country as the people can do. Only the people can save it. We understand that the elites are total thieves. We need to create a third party that will separate itself from the ruling elite, and that's all we can do at this time. We are ready for a third party. It's the people on the ground who need to save this country. There is a distance between the parties and the people. We understand the parties may as well be on Mars, or may as well be from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, or Shanghai. I'm telling you right now that I've been waiting for this day probably all of my life. This is what God put me on the earth for. I can tell you right now, I feel it in my bones. I know this is the right thing. I have been very reluctant to do this for a lot of reasons, but there's nothing else to live for but this. The political system is dead. They are taking the nation down the toilet. If we don't stop them, we're going to lose our country. I have no idea how bad it really is because only they know how much they've stolen. I do know that there are solutions to the problems. I've tried to give the solutions, and I've often wondered why none of my solutions, which are quite rational and nonpartisan, have ever been picked up by either party, whether it be oil for the illegal aliens from Mexico or oil from Iraq to pay the trillion-dollar war debt that has bankrupted this nation. All of the ideas I have given are good ideas. They're nonpartisan. They make sense, and yet neither Democrat nor Republican will pick them up. And that's why I'm exploring with you today the Savage Nation Party. I am happy to announce to you that in the last 15 minutes, we've had four attorneys contact and offer their time for the formation, the forming papers, the founding papers. And we're going to be sending their emails to a good friend of mine who's an attorney I trust, who spends every day of his life as an attorney. You know what he does as an attorney? He fights class action attorneys. You want to know what a losing battle is? It's fighting the vermin who do class action lawsuits, all of whom should be in prison. He tries it, and he tells me what these vermin do in the courts of law. He's a good friend of mine, and he is going to be getting those emails from the attorneys who are volunteering. I just got an offer from a wonderful public relations agency in New York City, who, in fact, in the past was my public relations agent when I with my previous books. They're a very fine boutique public relations agency. I'm not going to read their name. It's inappropriate right now. Dr. Savage, I would be happy to volunteer to help you write and send out any press releases for your new party. We conservatives need a new party because the old one does not exist anymore. Best CR. Yes, we do. I can guarantee you that I have in my mind, I can see the first annual meeting. I don't know if there's a big enough stadium to hold the number of people who come. It could be as big as you can imagine. I am telling you right now, it'll be more than 100,000 people, and we're going to have them there. And you're going to see war veterans. You're going to see people of every color. You're going to see people of every race, and they're going to be screaming to save America from this evil that has beheld it, that's taken over this country. It is going to happen, as sure as I'm sitting here. There's no way they're going to stop this. Because once we release this genie out of the bottle, once we tap into the nuclear energy of the American people, there is nothing that can stop it. The problem is McCain cannot tap into your energy. The problem is McCain is not Einstein. I am. I am a political Einstein. And I know how to get to the core of E equals MC squared in the political realm. McCain doesn't know how to add 2 and 4, unfortunately. Again, I don't want to knock the guy. I'm going to vote for him. Every time I see the pictures of what he went through in Vietnam, suffering at the hands of those little devils, those monsters, those war criminal. You want war criminals called the Vietnam. It was done by random elements. It was not done as government policy, I can guarantee you. But they tortured our men. They broke their bones and they tortured our men. They let them to rot and die. That's what those Vietnamese did. And I'm sick and tired of hearing how wonderful they all are and how we should do business with them and how they're now a capitalist nation. No, I'm not happy with any of this. I'm not happy with any of this. And I think there are too many Manchurian candidates out there who were brainwashed during their internment, unfortunately. And I pity them for it. Who've come back and tell us they're just like us. No, ladies and gentlemen, no nation is just like our nation. This is a unique nation. Whether it is still the best nation on earth is open to question. I'm not so sure anymore. I don't know how you define the best nation on earth. It's very hard to call it the best nation on earth when the people have no voice in their political decisions. It's very hard to call this the best nation on earth when you have a gangster party called the Democrats signing up dead people and people who don't exist to elect an unknown man with no birth certificate named Obama. And on the other side of the aisle, it's very hard to get excited when you have a Republican Party that runs a candidate who was washed up as near as a year ago and run this candidate who will not come on any of the major talk shows that could get him elected. That makes you a little suspicious of the Republican Party. He won't come on the Rush Limbaugh show. Rush Limbaugh's a centrist. Rush Limbaugh's as Republican booster as you can get. Yet McCain won't go on the Limbaugh show. He won't go on the Leprechaun show. The Leprechaun poses as a populist when, in fact, he's a front man for News Corporation. But that's okay. He's very good on certain issues. He's on the right side of things when he's off the corned beef. And off the Blarney, but he won't even go on the Leprechaun show. Certainly wouldn't go on Michael Savage's show because that would, of course, destroy his political career because the enemies of the truth, the enemies of America, the enemies of our borders, the enemies of our language, the enemies of our culture would seize that and leap all over it as though it's a crime to go on a man's show who believes in borders, language, and culture, which just shows you how far this nation has fallen as a nation, that a politician who calls himself a conservative will not go on the most dynamic conservative show in the history of the United States of America for fear that the opposition, the illegitimate opposition would nail him to a cross for going on a show that advocates what? Borders, language, and culture. I guess it's become a crime to want to preserve your borders. I guess it's become a crime to not want to live in a Tower of Babel with 500 languages and a voting booth. I guess it's become a crime to want to support the cultural foundations of America, which are very clear to me and are very clear to you. Yeah, I guess it's a crime to believe in borders, language, and culture. Well, if it's a crime, then declare me a criminal. If it's a crime, then declare 10 or 20 million or 30 million or more Americans criminals. Because anyone who believes in America must be a criminal to the gangsters who are bankrupting this country. And so, as I say, coming back again to the founding point, today is a very special day. Mark it down. October 9, 2008. Michael Savage was not supposed to be on the radio. Michael Savage had arranged the best of show. Michael Savage woke up this morning and said, no, this is not a day for me to not be here. This is a day for me to be here with the American people. when I see them nakedly short-selling the market, when I see them destroying a corporation like General Motors for profit and greed in cahoots with the SEC, and when I see the president sitting up there and doing nothing, I know that they're purposely trying to destroy this country as fast as they can before the term is up. I am positive as I stand here that there is an intent and a desire by Wall Street to melt this country so that it's unrecognizable. But it's not only this country that they want to melt on Wall Street. They want to melt all countries. They've probably done so. They want all borders gone. They want all languages gone. They want all separate cultures gone. They want all religions gone. They have only one religion. Their religion is greed. Their currency is greed. Their motto is profit. They do not have a country. They are men and women without a country. They are the reason that George Bush stooge has stood against enforcing our laws with regard to illegal immigration. It has been the Wall Street Journal, now owned by Murdoch, who owns Fox News. The Wall Street Journal for years has opposed a cracking down on illegal aliens. The Wall Street Journal, as the news organization of these greedy pigs, has said, no, we need the illegal aliens. Well, we don't need them. The profiteers need them because they exploit them. And so it's been the Wall Street crowd, the gangsters, the men without a country, the men and women without a country, the men and women who have the G5s and can leave on a moment's notice, the men and women who are out of here as fast as you can say, hop along, Cassidy. They'll be out of this country with their profits. They've sacked the treasury, and they're going to sack the granaries before they're through, unless they are stopped cold in their tracks. I have no idea whether there's anyone left who can defend us. I have no idea who can defend us. I have asked you over and over again. And again, forgive me my Latin, because I'm not an expert on Latin. But I know words, and I know their meaning. And so I'll ask you again, quies custodiat ipsos custodes? It's a Latin phrase from the poet Juvenal, which says, who shall watch the watchers? Or who watches the watchmen? I have no idea. The SEC was supposed to watch the gangsters. Now we find out the SEC permitted them to short sell stocks today and bust out General Motors. The SEC was supposed to disclose who the short sellers were. But the SEC, we learned today, will not disclose who the short sellers were. Only Chris Cox gets to know who they are. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Tells me an awful lot. I'm going on a website right now that shows you stocks and their prices. I'm looking at General Motors Corporation. Its price, in its last price at last price was $4.76. It started at $7.15 today. It fell 31%. There was a trading volume of over 65 million shares when an average volume on General Motors is 30 million shares a day. 30 million shares a day. Today, 65 million were unloaded. That means it was shorted by some major players. The government should demand their names. The government should arrest them. The government should seize their assets. The government should arrest their children's children's children. The government should seize their castles in Switzerland, their houses in Great Neck, their apartments on Fifth Avenue. But who is the government? Why, they're the government. They're the government themselves. There is no government. It's a government of the Wall Street pigs, by the Wall Street pigs, and for the Wall Street pigs. Now, it would be fine if they had a patriotic bone in their body, but they are men without a country. They have no loyalty to anything except the bottom line. And I have seen countries come and go before when I read the history books. Countries have come and countries have gone. Countries have risen and countries have fallen like Atlantis beneath the ocean floors. And if you think this country can't disappear in your lifetime, you are a fool, my friend, because a good portion of it is underwater. A good portion of this nation is underwater. And you turn on the TV and what do you see? You see the very same clowns sitting there with the very same suits and ties talking to each other. Fox News, CNN, the radio. What in be God is going on? How come that happened, Mary? And they tell you answers that don't add up. They tell you it's panic selling. It's not panic selling. It's absolute gangsterism through short selling. which was eliminated for a month and replaced today and opened up again. They opened the doors up, and they won't even disclose who did it. So the SEC, as I say, the Security and Exchange Commission, was put in place to watch these gangsters because we knew that they would take advantage of the system. But when you put a wolf inside the chicken house, as they say, or a fox inside the chicken coop, then the fox is going to eat the chickens, isn't he? Well, right now you got a fox inside the chicken coop called Chris Cox. Qui es custodiet ipsos custodes? Again, I apologize for my poor Latin, just as I apologize for my poor English. Yes, I mangle the English language, and I do mangle the Latin. It doesn't matter, because what's important is what I'm saying, not how I'm saying it. We were supposed to have a separation of powers. That's the way the Founding Fathers set it up. That's the way a democracy is supposed to be protected. The idea never to give ultimate power to any one group. The executive, separate from the legislative, separated from the judicial. They all have separate interests, and they're all supposed to compete and conflict with one another. And each group then finds it in its best interest to impede the functioning of the other groups. And supposedly, this will keep ultimate power in a constant flux and thereby out of any one group's hands. But somehow, we have no separation of powers. Somehow, the executive has morphed into the legislative and into the judicial, where not one element of the government will stand up and stop the meltdown of our financial system when, in fact, we know how to do it. I don't need a degree from Wharton to tell you how to stop this. They lowered interest rates when they should have raised interest rates. I can tell you right now, lowering the interest rates made it worse. They should have raised interest rates. Seize their assets. They're gangsters. They're not ordinary investors. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, qui es custodiet ipsos custodes? The Romans asked the question, and the answer was the enemy within. The enemy within who speaks your language and wears your ties and wears your suits and gives you the aw shucks and holds the Bible. The man who looks like you and talks like you and walks like you. He certainly isn't a colored man, the enemy within. Not an immigrant, the enemy within. No. You wouldn't trust the immigrant. You wouldn't trust the man of color. No, he's a white man. They're all white men. Make no mistake about it. They own Wall Street, lock, stock, and barrel, and they're men without a country. Every one of them is a Benedict Arnold. And that's why I say to you, we must talk today. And tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, about taking the country back from these men without a country, or there will be nothing left to take back for your children. And so that's why I'm here today. That's why I came in today, to speak with you, directly to you, about forming a third party called the Savage Nation Party. And I've asked lawyers to volunteer their time to help create the founding papers. I've asked people to recommend a church that is no longer operating as a church somewhere in the Bay Area that we can possibly buy. And I do not want any donations. I want to make that very clear. I'm not raising money at this time. I do not want any donations at this time. When we do, I'll put it up on michaelsavage.com. I'm not going to use this show to raise money for a political party until I know that it's perfectly legal to do so. I'm going to follow every law from the beginning until the end because the power structure is listening very carefully. The power structure is watching very carefully. And I have to watch them as carefully as they watch me. I'll be right back. Savage. Well, we've put up the poll on michaelsavage.com. Should Savage found a third party? It's a yes-no question. We just put it up minutes ago on the website. I don't even know how many people have gone on. Only a few hundred so far. 93%, of course, say yes. 4% say no. So the question is, should Savage found a third party? I'd like to see this grow into the millions so that we can take it to the bank of public opinion and see what we can raise. I'm amazed that Obama can raise $50, $100 million a month from foreign sources, and he gets away with it. I'm amazed that he can register to vote through Acorn. People who don't exist. I'm amazed that this goes on and the Republicans are incapable of stopping any of this. Although I'm really not amazed when you consider the Republican Party exists primarily for the profits of those in the party as opposed to defending the interests of the American people. You know, this afternoon I saw the Blue Angels buzzing the Bay Area as they're getting ready for this great weekend. You know, I'll go out on my boat and watch them. They were practicing today. I was on a hilltop in the North Bay with my dog. When I heard the roar of those airplanes go over, I jumped up and started to applaud. I was alone. But I just jumped up, and I don't know who I was applauding for. I wanted to jump up and grab the plane, and I wanted to hug the pilots and say, God bless you. And if only we could direct that Air Force in the right direction. If only we could direct the Air Force to take care of our enemies abroad. If only we could regain our national honor, I thought. If only once and finally we could get rid of the compromise that exists running from this country to every country on earth, and we could just start smashing our enemies as over an anvil and shut their pie mouths forever until finally we are a nation again with respect. Because we must crush our enemies abroad before we can take care of the enemy within. I can guarantee you that the agenda must start over there. Here we have the most powerful naval fleets in the world playing chicken with Arab Muslim terrorists in rubber boats in the Straits of Hormuz. Yet not a shot has been fired. Here we have Somali pirates holding a cargo ship hostage off the coast of Somalia for about 10 days now, and all of the world's superpowers with navies, U.S., Britain, France, Russia, have navies there negotiating with the Somali pirates who are asking for $20 million to release the ship with the tanks on them and the hostages. How far we have fallen as a nation, just how far we have fallen as a nation is astounding to me, that we sit and negotiate with these people instead of killing them. You see, the U.S. Navy, I'll have to tell it to you again, was founded to crush vermin like this in the 1800s. I've studied the history of the U.S. Navy. It was not created to go around and spread goodwill. It was not created to create a floating bordello for people who can't get a job. It was not created to make it fair between the sexes, who can have sex between the steam pipes. It was not created for a little diversity training on the ships. It was created to go around the world and protect our interests by killing our enemies on the spot. That's how far we've fallen as a nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
From Little Acorns Grow, this is the Savage Nation. And here is the Little Acorn. Today is the Little Acorn. I have announced in the last hour that I am running an exploration committee on whether or not to form a third party. I put out a name, the Savage Nation Party. It may be something else. In fact, if you have ideas for another name for the party, some of which would be better, I will accept them at another time. We are not set up to receive any emails from you. Not at this time. It takes a while to organize and get things going and raise funds and create a house for our building for us to be in. We're working on it. But I have announced the creation or the exploration of the creation of a third party. I have done so because we all know that both parties represent the interests of both parties, not the interests of the American people. Witness today the short-selling ban being lifted and the busting out of many stocks, including General Motors. Now, initially, the SEC had said that it will require hedge funds and institutional investors to disclose all of their short positions to the SEC. Initially, the SEC created to protect us from these gangsters. Initially, this group, the SEC, said it would make those positions public. But we learned hours ago that under the latest draft of the rules, these disclosures would be made only to Chris Cox of the SEC. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have U.S. pension funds with assets of more than $1 trillion, which have temporarily suspended their practice of lending the shares of some financial companies for fear that they will be used by the short-selling vultures. For example, the California State Teachers Retirement System has said and made appeals to pensions nationwide to limit their share lending to short-selling, vulturous, anti-American scum. But they have not been able to succeed because men like Chris Cox opened the door again to the predatory vultures who destroyed your pension. And that's why I say unless we step in and take this nation back from these gangsters, there'll be no nation to take back from anyone. And it's going to take time. It cannot be done overnight. It's going to take a lot of time. So again, I am asking you a couple of questions. We have one or two attorneys who have volunteered their time to help create the paperwork or file the paperwork to form the party. We have a public relations agency from New York City that has offered to become the PR agency to get us off the ground. I'm Michael Savage. I'm telling you right now, I don't intend to run for anything. I have no desire to be a politician. I have no desire to ever run for public office. I am simply exploring the creation of a third party in this country in order to express the sentiments of most Americans, which are a party that stands for the following: borders, language, and culture. That's simple. Does Barack Obama stand for our borders, our language, and our culture? Answer: zero. How much of borders, language, and culture do you expect from John McCain should he become president by some distant chance? Borders, zero. English only, zero. Culture, maybe. The only reason I'm going to vote for John McCain is because I can trust him on national security. He is third-generation U.S. military. He's made of the right stuff. He suffered for this country. The left wing went crazy because we put some of these Arab murderers in panties. And we let dogs bark at them. No, torture is what John McCain went through. Torture is having your broken limbs broken again. Torture is having your broken limbs broken again by Vietnamese sadists who hung him from posts, which is why he looks like a man who has been tortured on the platform opposite Barack Hussein Obama, who looks like the war hero, standing up straight there like a military man himself, a man, a community organizer whose only act of patriotism was firing staples into telephone poles, creating a group called ACORN, which registers illegal aliens, non-existent criminals, criminals who do exist, and the dead. And so that's why I say we have to create, or I think we have to create, something new in this country. And that something new is today called the Savage Nation Party. I originally was going to call it the Nationalist Party, but unfortunately there is already someone using that, and they have a racist tinge to them, and I'm not going to go there. I don't want to go in that direction. No direction in the form of racism, because as far as I'm concerned, a party must be for all the people who love the country they are in, immigrant and native-born alike. Race has no meaning when it comes to patriotism. Not to me. It never has and it never will. It's not about a particular race. It's about loving America, living for America, and working for America. It's not about working for some foreign nefarious powers. This party will never accept a dime from foreign interests, not through first, second, or third front groups. Never. This party will accept money only from the American people when that time comes. And right now I want to open this up to you because I'm only going to be with you for another 45 minutes, at which point my good friend Rick will come in. This is a day that, as I said to you, I normally would not have been here. I had committed to being in silent meditation today for God, since this is a Judeo-Christian nation, and since the Jewish religion is the grandfather, if you want to put it to you that way, of Christianity, or you could even say the father of Christianity is Judaism, however way you want to put it, there's no denying it. Everyone knows that Jesus was Jewish, and everyone understands that there is a direct link between Judaism and Christianity, which is why the Muslim fanatics hate both Jews and Christians. And we understand who our enemies are. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I came in instead. I felt the best worship I could do today would be not to go to a house of worship and read prayers to God and supplications to God and apologize to God for my sins. First of all, because I would have been there for hours and days and years if I had apologized for all of my sins. If I had to get up before God and apologize and confess to my sins, it couldn't have been done in one day. And so therefore, I decided it would be best to come before you and try to do something positive instead of emphasizing the negative. And secondly, I also think that happiness, to me, consists of creating things, creating valuable things, worthwhile things, rather. And to me, there's no more worthwhile enterprise for the years that remain for me than to create this new party, whatever it may be called eventually. And we'll take a poll on it eventually, and we'll come up with a name that will sell and not alarm people. And I will try to be the man behind the scenes. I will try to be the architect, not the engineer. I'll try to be the architect, not the plumber. I'll try to be the architect, not the electrician. I'll try to be the architect, not the roofer, nor the man who does the drywall, although we need all of those craftsmen to build this party in whatever form it may take. But I cannot do all of those things. I have to do it with you. And so, again, please let me reiterate, this is an exploratory discussion we are having today. Today is a day that shall be remaining, I think, in my mind, an important one, October 9, 2008. And it's beyond anger. We can't just be angry because they are laughing at you. Those without a country on Wall Street are laughing at you. They know you are powerless. They know you've been neutralized. They know that they have both parties doing their bidding, which is keeping you from taking control of them. Make no mistake about it. This is a country of Wall Street, by Wall Street, and for Wall Street. Has it ever been this bad before? Yes and no. We know it's been this bad before. In fact, it's been worse. Can it get worse? It will get worse. New York City, WOR, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I want to thank you for all of your hard work. In New York, I've spoken with many of my friends and neighbors, and we have just been going around saying, what do we do? Who do we turn to? Today is a day that we will look back on in history because of you, because of the work that you are now starting.
You will. It will happen. I've succeeded in everything I've tried to do, with the exception of one thing. And that one thing I couldn't succeed at was because the left-wing liberal socialist engineers said white males need not apply. But they're never going to stop me from creating a third party. Nobody is going to stop this. This is God's hand at work through me. I can guarantee you that I will do this as sure as I'm sitting here. Just as I've written one book after another, just as I succeeded in radio and people said, you can't do it. Your voice is too New York. You won't sell around America. They stood in my way at every step. Well, here I am. And I'm not here just for my own self-aggrandizement. I'm not here just to sound intelligent. I'm not here just to entertain you. This is it. Here it is. This is my destiny. And that's why I'm here today, Mike. That's why I came into to the show today.
So thank you very much. And I want to say this. I think that Pelosi, Dodd, Frank, and the rest of them ought not to use the word American describing themselves. They should hang their heads down in shame.
They have no shame. Here's a Pelosi story that made my head jump. And thank you for the call, Mike. Pelosi says $150 billion economic stimulus plan needed. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said today that $150 billion economic stimulus plan is needed because of the faltering economy, and she may call the House into session after the election to pass it. So in other words, there was a $61 billion economic aid proposal last month. There was an $800 billion bailout. There was an additional billions to this company. But now Pelosi wants $150 billion so that her friends can, again, take more of the bacon and leave the rind for the American people. Now, where will she spend this $150 billion? Food stamps? She said she wants more food stamps benefits. She wants to invest in public works. That's intriguing. Public works projects. That's quite interesting. I wonder why Nancy Pelosi is interested in $150 billion for public works and food stamps benefits. I'll let you figure that out. 1-800-449-8255. As an American, how important is it to you to start a third party? How important is that to you as an American? Let me take one quick call, then go to the wonderful advertisers who support this show. Leon in Utah, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, it's great. I'm so glad you came in today. You made my day, my year, my decade. I'm 67. I'm a Vietnam vet. My oldest son introduced me to your program. My youngest son is in the military. I used to want you to run, but I agree with you that we need you on the radio worst. You have veterans from four wars who were willing to give their lives when they served, and they'd be willing to give the rest of their lives for this country. The one thing I fear is, are we going to survive 2 years or 4 years until we can get somebody else in?
And well, your fears, my friend, are my fears. If you think I'm just saying it for effect, I'm not saying it for effect. I don't know if we even have 2 years. I have no idea how far these gangsters want to play chicken with this country until there's nothing left to save. I don't really know in my heart of hearts whether they really want to destroy the country, Leon. It almost makes no difference if they really want to or they don't, because it seems to me they're doing a good enough job as it is. And you have to look at the top. I know and you know this is being orchestrated from the top. It's not happening by accident, Leon.
Agree, Mike. One thing, Mike, I've wanted to mention to you for a couple of years is that we need a government-proof radio station, because they're going to try to push you and us underground, and they're probably going to try to imprison us when we start doing these things. So
We'll get there when we come to it, Leon. I don't think they can imprison someone for free speech yet. Obama's not yet president. We'll have to wait and see when that gang takes over, how far they'll go, and what kind of pushback they'll get from the American people. But I'll be right back.
Savage.
Right, Savage poll. Should Savage found a third party? It's on michaelsavage.com, Savage Nation Party, Borders, Language, Culture. Being discussed today by Savage on air. Listen live, tell your friends, because this is the beginning of something new, October 9, 2008. Books have arrived from the printer. They're being shipped, by the way, from the printer to my fulfillment house in Florida, and they should arrive in Florida Monday or Tuesday and be shipped to all of you who've ordered the book. And I just want to say again, psychological nudity, I'm not tired of talking about it. I'm very happy to talk about it. I printed a certain number. I've sold half of that number. I know something about marketing. The other half will be gone, I'm sure, by, I would say, December 1. It will be too late for the holidays. I might reprint it, but you're never going to get it for the holidays unless you order between now, I would say, and Thanksgiving. And you will order it. I know what's going to happen is you're going to flood orders in right after Thanksgiving for yourself and friends, so if you want to guarantee a copy of Psychological Nudity with a picture of Teddy, forget me, you can do so by going to my website. And I know many of you don't have access to email. Many of the older people who listen to the show don't even go to the net, and they want to be able to buy the book. I can't help you right now, but I will try to come up with some idea for you in the next couple of weeks. Wachovia awaits bad loan bailout from the deck of a cruise ship. LA Times today on my website. The ailing company sent 75 employees on an all-expense-paid trip to the Greek Isles while awaiting bad loan bailout. Here's another article from the Grand Rapids Press on my website. PBS anchor declares Obama pseudo-controversies really hide racism. Characterizing Obama as Muslim, quote, is a way to confer otherness on him for those people who are uncomfortable saying they're against him because he's black, says a red diaper dopa baby vermin from PBS. Again, it's always the white communists who are stirring up blacks against whites and whites against black. Every time you investigate, you'll see it's a white liberal or a person who wants a race war in the country, who works for PBS, who will not acknowledge that there are real controversies about Obama. How could he not be Muslim if he has a Muslim name? How could he not be Muslim if his father and grandfather were Muslims? How is that possible when he has no known birth certificate? Savage.
Bläht sich auf im dürren Gras. Das feuchte Äugelein wird benannt.
It is the Savage Nation. Why am I playing Rammstein? Because it's energetic. And I can't stand listening to John McCain whine anymore. Instead of fire in his belly, he has white bread and mayonnaise in his belly. That's the problem. People are begging McCain to get angry. They're begging McCain to fight back. They're begging McCain to show that fire again. And in fact, I got to say it. Listen to what McCain said in clip four.
I don't care much about an old terrorist and his wife who are still unrepentant. And
there it is. There he goes again. All right, John, listen to me, John. This is Michael Savage. You want to get elected? Stop the nice guy stuff. Or you're never even going to get reelected to the Senate in Arizona in 2 years. Who is Barack Hussein Obama? Well, let's look into it. He has been around and has been propped up and supported by those who hate the United States. Bill Ayers, Reverend Wright. Now, who can believe that you can sit in the pews of a church for 20 years and hear this vile racism against whites, hatred spewed against the United States of America, and sit and listen to a preacher who says the U.S. deserved the death and destruction of the Twin Towers by Islamo-fascists? Who can sit in that church unless he agreed with them? How about his relatives in Kenya? Mr. Corsi went over to Kenya to investigate his relatives in Kenya, and he was arrested by the Muslim leader of Kenya because Mr. Corsi uncovered the true birthplace, I believe, of Hussein Obama and the connections that exist between Barack Hussein Obama and this Muslim leader and what this Muslim leader said he would do after this election. And yet McCain says, why should I care about this? Well, as you well know, Obama's first father left him and his mother. And he was a Muslim. And Obama's mother then remarried with her new husband, who was again a Muslim. And yet we're not supposed to say the M word. Now, as I said to you, I'm a believer in all five of the world's religions. As long as they're peace-loving and are pro-American, as far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal. However, when you consider the fact that not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists happen to be Muslim, and that the 19 hijackers who destroyed the Twin Towers and the Pentagon were Muslim, mainly from Saudi Arabia, we have a very real obligation to remember that. Never mind that we're being told not to remember it by the both party candidates. Never mind that PBS, which should be defunded, tries to embarrass you every time you remember reality. I remember reality. So the mother remarries and goes to Indonesia with a new husband who's also a Muslim. Barack Hussein Obama is enrolled and reported on the rolls of the Islamic Muslim school he attended under the name Barry Sotero, S-O-E-T-O-R-O. And when Obama's mother remarried, this new Muslim husband adopted Obama and his name was changed to Barry Muhammad Sotero, legally, through the court system, not in America, but the court system in Indonesia. However, if you do extensive research, there are no court filings or petitions to the courts of the states of Hawaii and Illinois where this Barack Hussein Obama had his name legally changed from Barry Muhammad Sotero. So therefore, that there is no court order allowing the name change, Barack Hussein Obama, that he's been using, it is an illegal alias for many years. And so therefore, it's a valid question. There are websites out there that have been filed in federal courts in Philadelphia where a Democrat attorney had to file a federal lawsuit to obtain a simple copy of this alias, Barack Hussein Obama's birth certificate. When in reality, under the Freedom of Information Act, any request made by any citizen to the senator should have been answered and the document supplied, especially since this person is not only a federal employee working in a federal agency as a senator, but he's preparing under our Constitution, which requires birth on U.S. soil. And instead of complying with this request, Barack Hussein Obama, or Hussein, sent his S.A. to Philadelphia to fight a simple request to show a valid birth certificate. There are websites you can go to read the writ of the attorney and the rationale that Hussein's and the entire DNC attorneys gave the federal judge to dismiss this lawsuit. They said that if only one person requested it, it is not a valid issue, in clear violation of the actual meaning of the Freedom of Information Act, where anyone by themselves may request any document relating to presidential candidates or even sitting presidents, which includes senators. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we do not even know where Hussein Obama was born. We cannot find a legal birth certificate for him. I believe we are watching one of the greatest frauds in the history of this country unfolding before our eyes at the same time that the gangsters of Wall Street are melting down our economy. This man may melt down our country altogether. Incidentally, it came out today that ACORN, a group that was created to falsify voter registration documents that were found in Las Vegas, in Ohio, and Indiana, has come to light. And this is something that should be heard across America. I was shocked to hear it on CNN, but even they have become embarrassed by their total worship and support for this unknown man named Barry Obama. And we have a bit of this soundbite for you, I believe. Somewhere I have it. Does anyone have that for me? I had requested it. It should be here. Where's the ACORN stuff, guys?
We believe their purpose is to attack ACORN.
Let's stop. And— Hold it. Let's stop right here. ACORN is a group that was set up supposedly to register disenfranchised voters. And it was found in Las Vegas by federal by investigations by both Democrats and Republicans who investigated the signatures that 50% of those signed up in Indiana don't exist or are fraudulent. That's in Indiana alone. And they're all being signed up for Barack Hussein Obama's election. So they finally tracked down the mouthpiece, the lawyer for ACORN in Boston, a white man, by the way. Listen to what this wonderful, upstanding American patriot, a lawyer for this fraudulent group, had to say.
We believe their purpose is to attack ACORN and suppress votes. We think that by attacking ACORN, that they are going to discourage people who may have registered with ACORN from voting. We think that this is an attack on ACORN because they want to suppress votes. They want to discourage us from doing the work that they should be doing. The state should be doing this.
Up to me, the lawyer is immediately arrested for using a law degree as a criminal weapon. That's my opinion. I would immediately arrest this man for using his law degree to undermine the laws of the United States of America. Put him in jail, seize his assets, give him a 30-day trial and one hearing, and slap him in prison for 25 years. Why do I say that? Why is it so harsh? Because we need harsh measures in harsh times. Apparently, mild measures haven't deterred any of these vermin. And so I think we need much harsher measures than we already have. But we'll get to that in another time. The fact of the matter is, Republicans and Democrats alike on the election boards or the voter committees who were examining signatures, both Democrats and Republicans were shocked today to find that in Indiana, 50% of those registered by ACORN did not exist or were dead or were made up names. Made up names, the dead, or multiple registrations of the same personality. And yet they went and found the lawyer for ACORN and says it's simply an attempt by Republicans to chase away the disenfranchised. No, we the people have been disenfranchised. No, it's we the legitimate citizen whose ancestors came here legitimately who have been disenfranchised by this gangster class who was running the country. Now I'll go to the callers. Daryl in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
God bless you, Michael Savage. You know, I'm like depressed all day being a truck driver listening to talk radio until you come on the air. I swear, it's so awesome that you're going to do this.
Well, listen, you say you're a truck driver, correct, Daryl?
Yes, that's right.
Well, all the truck drivers in America right now don't know the power that they have with their trucks. When and if we create this third party, which I intend to do, those trucks will become floating billboards for this new party. They will carry around an 800 number that will say whatever the name of the party is with an 800 number that says borders, language, culture. And you will become one of the most powerful tools ever seen in American history for getting out the message for taking the country back from the criminal class called the elites. So, Daryl, hang in there. It's going to take some doing, and I'm only one man right now. But we're going to keep going. Thank you very much for listening. 1-800-449-8255. Michael in Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
It's an honor to talk to you, Mr. Savage. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I was thinking of, the Savage National Party. That didn't rub me the right way, but I'm a diehard listener. I was thinking more like the Conservative National Party or the National Conservative Party. I am Hispanic, and I did see that other site, and yeah, it's a little bit weird over there on that nationalist.
Yeah, we have to be careful of associations with past situations with the word nationalist. I mean, I'm a proud nationalist, but the problem is it's been hijacked by racists in some cases, and we cannot let it go there. There must be a firewall between true conservatism or true patriotism and racism, Michael.
Yeah, I'm a Hispanic, and I was going to say about a year ago or so, I was working in construction. And a few of the day laborers that were working with me said, why do you have that flag? They were talking to me in Spanish. And they were saying, why do you have that flag on your truck? It was an American flag. I said, well, that's my country. And, of course, they started to dog it. And these were good men, but they started to show their lack of pride for the country that was giving them money, feeding their bellies.
Isn't that amazing? So you, as a legal American citizen, started to get the feeling that maybe the illegal aliens are not all so innocent.
Oh, of course. I've worked with them intimately.
Well, why do they have such antipathy to the country that they come to work in? Why do they hate it?
It's the corrupt education that they've been fed by all these other radical groups. And you know them. I don't care to name them. But you know them. You know their
weapons. So they're a dangerous fifth wheel in the country then. The illegal alien mafia has become a very dangerous entity in this country.
More dangerous than McCain cares to admit. Extremely dangerous.
McCain is not going to be our hero on protecting our borders, is he? We know that he's sold out on that.
No, but I also want to say I'm your Las Vegas connection. I'm willing to give you my address, my phone number. When this gets rolling, you're more than welcome to
call. All right, I hear you, man. We're going to need people of all races, all religions, and all everything, because it's America. We do not discriminate based upon race, religion, national origin, or sexual orientation. How's that? And I'm straight up on that. I don't care if the person's gay or straight. It doesn't matter to me as long as they're a patriot. That's all that matters to me.
Definitely a patriot.
I don't care what a person's sexual orientation is when it comes to patriotism. I don't care whatsoever. Thank you for the call. I want to put that right out on the front. But we're not raising money. We're not raising anything but awareness today and starting a dialogue. So if you want to join the dialogue, give me a call at 1-800-449-8255. We could talk about what everyone's talking about, the Ayers thing, but I don't think I need to go along with the pack. You've heard it before. Many of you will say, well, the attacks on Hussein's connections to 60s radicals are nothing more than cheap political shots. Do you actually believe that? Play clip 12.
The notion that somehow he has been involved in my campaign, that he is an advisor of mine, that I've palled around with a terrorist, all these statements are made simply to try to score cheap political points. You know, look, I can handle these attacks for the remaining 4 weeks, but it's certainly not serving our democracy right now.
Yes, it is. It's exposing your radical ties, not only to William Ayers, but your radical ties, Mr. Obama, to a radical anti-American, anti-white preacher. There are too many anti-American, anti-white elements in your past for you to suddenly say you had nothing, you don't know who they are, you had nothing to do with them, they're just little loose connections. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. Now, McCain is running the worst campaign in American history. Maybe it's a product of age. I think it's more a product of his advisors who I think are undermining him. I believe he has Judases surrounding him, and he has no idea what he's doing at this point. The women were screaming out to him as near as a week ago, begging him to get tough. If you guys can get that piece for me, or you got it ready, say when it's ready, because he was at a meeting last week at a fundraiser, last Thursday or Friday, I believe, Mr. McCain, and the women there were saying to him, when are you going to get tough? Well, he said he'd get tough Tuesday night. You remember that one? Well, Tuesday night he got up there and he blew kisses at Obama. He didn't get tough. Have you guys found it yet?
When are you going to take the gloves off and just go at him?
How about Tuesday night?
Well, how about it, John? Tuesday night came and we saw you on the stage blowing kisses at Obama, and consequently, you've fallen 10 or 11 points in the last week. Despite the horrible economy, and despite the fact that most Americans tie it not to the Democrats but to the Republicans, when in fact both parties did this to us, despite the fact that the economy has never been this bad in the history of most people living today, you could still pull this out of the hat, John. But there's only one way you can do that. There's only one way, my friend, or it's the highway for you. And that is to come on the shows that speak to the millions of Americans who are your core. You cannot continue to spit in the face of all the millions of Americans. You know, if you add up the audience for Limbaugh, I think it's something on the order of 20 million. The audience for the Savage Nation is allegedly 8 to 10 million. I don't know what it actually is. I know it's at least that. Then you've got the other guys who have large audiences, probably in the range of 12 to 15 million, the wall banger. And there's a lot of overlap, but I would say that there's probably 30 million people or more who listen to talk radio on a regular basis. And I say conservative talk radio now. I'm not talking about PBS, which is a front group for the radical left Democrat wing, radical left wing of the Democrat Party. PBS should have been defunded a long time ago. That's one of the things we will do as a third party. We will immediately defund public broadcasting services. They will go out of business. They will operate in the free market. They'll try to get a real job instead of functioning with tax dollars by attacking the American people and the core values of America. But I have many issues for the platform that I'm not going to discuss today. There's too much to do in one program. But I want to get back to the main point. The fact of the matter is, you can help save this country. And I think what I'm going to ask you to do right now will send shockwaves throughout this political campaign. I'm going to ask you to interrupt every McCain town hall meeting that you sneak into. Never tell them you listen to any of these shows, but get invited as a middle of the road or undecided. And when you're in there, I want you to yell at him, when are you going to go on to the conservative talk radio shows? I want every one of you listening to this show that you're going to be doing not only John McCain a favor, but yourself a favor, but most importantly, this nation a favor. Create a ruckus. Disturb John McCain's campaign. Make him answer you. When are you going to go on to the conservative talk shows? I'll be right back. Savage. Dow Jones Industrial Averages are pummeled today by short sellers who should be arrested immediately. And no one knows who the short sellers are, with the exception of who? Treasury Secretary Paulson must know. Chris Cox certainly must know. And Barbasol Bernanke must know. But you don't know. You have no idea who the gangsters are who are shorting out some of America's best companies. Or most important industrial companies, let's put it to you that way. We cannot afford to lose our industrial base. You may say, well, who cares about General Motors? You better care about it. In World War II, I will remind you, it was General Motors and Ford that converted their automobile lines to making the Jeeps, the tanks, the trucks that were used in World War II. No, we cannot afford to lose our infrastructure. But again, I warn you that the men who are shorting our companies, such as General Motors, are the enemies of your very survival. I don't know who they are. I have no suspicion as to who they are. Sure, one name pops in mind, but I'm sure he's not alone in this. Some of them may be country club types that you'd never expect. Some of them may be Republicans themselves. Some of them probably are bigwigs inside the Republican Party. Some of them are inside the Democrat Party. But we, the people, don't know who the short sellers are. Only Chris Cox of the SEC knows. I'd love to find out tomorrow morning, wouldn't you? Who drove the prices down and who almost broke General Motors? You don't know, though, do you? Because you don't live in a free country. You don't live in a free country. Remember, I warned you in 1998 in my great speech, beware the government media complex. Well, there it is. Well, today's a memorable day. I'm going to be leaving for a bit right now, and Rick Roberts will be filling in right now. But remember what I did with you today. I announced today that we're exploring the creation of a new third party. I called it the Savage Nation Party. We have lawyers who have already volunteered to help, as well as a top PR agency in New York. We're on the way to save America.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Somber times, and they're difficult times, and they're challenging times. So we need some straight talk, and we need some leadership, and we've got to restore trust and confidence back in our government. And we have to. We have to get this economy turned around, and we have to get it turned around immediately. You know that. I know that. Every small business in America knows that. And there's a shirt right there that a gentleman is wearing, says, failure's not an option. Failure is not an option.
Well, failure may become the reality if something doesn't happen pretty quick. I'm sorry. I just got such a problem with John McCain right now. He's the only option. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Most of you have heard Michael's announcement this morning, or the, well, what was it? Just a couple of hours ago, that in fact the Savage Nation Party is something he's going to be working on consistently throughout. I think he said the rest of his career because he believes in it. A third party. Don't you wish we had a third party now? Don't you wish we had a Savage Nation Party now? Now, perhaps more so than any time in my my memory, we need it. Well, it's got to start someplace, and Michael Savage announced that today. If you want more information about the Savage Nation Party, I want you to go to michaelsavage.com. That's michaelsavage.com. Hopefully you go there on a daily basis anyway to get all the news that is not filtered by the lamestream media outlets. But I want you to go there specifically today to look for the Savage Nation Party information, michaelsavage.com. All right, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-TALK. I'm going to start taking your calls right off the bat because, quite honestly, I don't know that we have ever needed a third party more than we need one right this moment. With 26 days left until the election, probably too late to get anything going, obviously. I say that with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek. But at this particular point in time, whether it's the heirs connection, whether it's the Kenya connection, or it's the birth certificate, or whatever it is obvious to me that the American people are falling for it in big numbers. Acorn, of course, being investigated now in multiple states for alleged voting fraud, and that appears as though, well, federal investigators are on it right now. That appears that it's going to come to fruition very, very quickly, but not in time for the election. This one-day registering and voting scenario where you literally take people off the street. You know, I did that this morning. There was a guy sitting on a street corner. A van rolls up. What are you doing? Nothing. Why? I'm homeless. You want to vote? I guess. Hop in. They get him down to the voter registration area. Where do you live? I'm homeless, man. I don't live anywhere. Okay, well, use a shelter address, all right? It's 101 Homeless Shelter Drive. That's your address, because tomorrow you probably won't have any address. That's where Acorn is going. That's where Barack Obama is going. This is absolutely, the question was asked earlier today by many people in the lamestream media outlets, is Barack Obama stealing the vote, or is it a right-wing conspiracy, another smear? Another smear? Tell me the first smear. Is any of this resonating with the American people? Are the American people getting any of this? I'll tell you, probably not, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the birth certificate issue. You know, the story goes his father went and moved to Kenya. His mother followed. She was pregnant with him. She didn't like the way Muslim men treated the women. She wanted to go back to Hawaii. She was too far along in her pregnancy. They said, no, you can't fly. She had the baby in Kenya, then got on a plane with the child back to Hawaii and got a registry of birth. You know, if that's not an issue, if that's not a problem, you're running for the president of the United States, okay? Show them the birth certificate and say, okay, here's my birth certificate. Get out of my face. Why hasn't it been produced? Why? You know, the William Ayers connection. You know, how many times do we need to go over this for crying out loud? But is it resonating with the American people? Think about that. Think about that for just a second. I mean, if you were going to apply for a job with the Secret Service or the FBI or the CIA, your past associations with William Ayers would disqualify you. But basically, as president of the United States, it appears you can be president, but you couldn't be your own bodyguard. Yeah, this makes absolutely no sense. These voting irregularities running rampant through the country, listen very carefully. We commit more time, more money, and more resources in dispensing lottery tickets at the local convenience store than we do with the most cherished act that many men fought and died for, which is casting a ballot in a free society. Now, somebody explain that to me. How's that working? Doesn't seem like it's working very well. The bailout, the first step on the road to socialism, it doesn't appear that it's doing much of anything. The Dow is in a 5-year low, below 9,000? Wait a minute, what was this rush to get this thing signed and wrapped up? Was it necessary to keep the economy alive? Because if it was, that's not working. Or was it done, a bum's rush, if you will, to keep the American people from getting enough time to figure out just exactly who was screwing who? All right, let's go to your calls. Greg in Peoria, Illinois. Greg, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, sir.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to mention about Michael's opinion on the bailout. I think he's 100% right, and AIG is proving he's right by the initial $20 billion they said they needed, and then now they're up to $89 billion. And today, I don't know if you know it or not, but today they announced they needed another $39 to $40 billion.
Yeah.
So if you add that all up, that's $120 billion out of the 700. They just one company is going to end up taking 20% of the 700 billion. Now, what are the rest of them going to do?
Oh, and we're way past that already. We just haven't been notified. We the people responsible for writing the checks simply haven't been notified. They'll let us know in their own good time, I'm sure. Yeah, we're upwards of $1 trillion or more dollars. You know that, and I know that, and they knew that going in. And speaking of AIG, you know, one of the most hotly contested acts inside the Beltway was this bailout, at least in my memory. And what happens after it's approved in spite of the American people? AIG goes on a junket for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Talk about the arrogance. Talk about the elitism. Talk about the people that are disconnected with the people that are paying the bills, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. But you know, the bankruptcy courts are already set up for this. They can take all these companies' names. If they would have taken one person and put them in the bankruptcy court and then said, look, you apply day one, and when you apply day one, you get your money.
Yeah.
And the bankruptcy court's already set up to take money in and pay money out.
Greg, let me ask you, in the interest of time, what do you think about Savage's third-party plan? It makes a lot of sense. I just wish we had it in place now. What do you think about it?
I think we should do it. As far as the bailout's concerned, it's gonna fail unless we do something like that.
Well, Greg, you know, when Michael says this is something that he is committing to, you know, when Michael commits to something, that's money in the bank, a solvent bank. I just, you know, if it woulda, shoulda, coulda, if that were in place right now, can you imagine the message the American people would be sending the Democrats and the Republicans? Now, and somebody's going to have to jog my memory. Very early on, I had this, well, I had this epiphany last night about the same thing Michael was talking about, which is it just seems like John McCain doesn't have the will to win, that he's, you know, playing the nice guy, which he is. But it goes back to even in the primaries. Does anybody here recall, remember the talk show host, and I don't recall who it was, some local host someplace, was bringing John McCain on stage. And he went on a riff about Obama, and I don't recall exactly what was said. Forgive me. You know, all this stuff runs together after a while. And John McCain came on stage and basically admonished this guy and said, you know, I'm not going to run that kind of campaign. We're all friends and we're all this and we're all that. And I remember thinking at the time, wait a minute, you know, the Democrats are coming after your jugular vein. What do you mean we're going to be all playing nice? What is that about? And then you heard Michael play that, if you haven't, play that about the Ayers connection. The Ayers connection. Here's a guy that was bombing federal buildings, planning to kill cops, and a guy that is unrepentant for it even today and absolutely has no problem with what occurred on 9/11. And this is what John McCain had to say about his personal opinion of the Ayers connection. Go ahead, play that if you would.
I don't care much about an old terrorist and his wife who are still unrepentant. By the way, she was as much or more active than Mr. Ayers was. But the point is, it's not about them. It's about Senator Obama being...
No. What is that? But we're not playing chess. What is this? You know, you need to be all over it. Forgive me. A lot of people still remember those horrific images burned in their brain on the morning of 9/11, watching two towers fall and watching a gaping hole inside the Pentagon being gone through by first responders, and that giant hole in the cornfield out there. A lot of us remember that. Yeah, domestic terrorism is something that the American people want to know about. Barack, I'll tell you, I got ahead of myself. You know, I'm so upset about this. I'll tell you why I don't believe this is resonating with the American people like it should. I think just about everybody out there, whether they will admit it or not, whether it's the birth certificate thing, is he really a citizen? Is he qualified to run for president? You know, is the Ayers connection thing, is that a big... Well, no, it probably isn't a big deal, because if it were a big deal, listen, if it were a big deal, I'd be hearing more about it in the news. See, as much as we, you know, if you're listening to the Savage Nation on a regular basis, you're getting the news unfiltered. You're getting the truth. And I don't care how you dress it up or what cologne you put on it. The truth is always the truth, whether it works in your favor or not. It's always the truth. And unfortunately, there are a lot of soundbite Americans that have gone through the public indoctrination system, also known as the public school system, and they have come through dumbed down, ripe and ready for any politician to take them anywhere they want. Now, the things you're hearing on the Savage Nation, these are important things. I mean, these are hugely important things in an election cycle. Yet, I don't think the American people have got a full grasp on this Barack Hussein Obama. Is he a Muslim? Is he this? Is he that? You know, Michael mentioned Jerome Corsi earlier. I had a conversation this morning. Tomorrow, you will see a direct connection between Barack Obama and radical Islam. Now, I would not say that unless I knew that. I wouldn't say it unless I knew it. Will the American people then wake up? It's not enough. Well, he can't prove he's a U.S. citizen. Well, Tom Ayers, you know, he was kind of a terrorist kind of guy. As a matter of fact, his girlfriend blew herself up building a bomb. Let's see, what else? Yeah, it is true that he did represent Acorn as an attorney suing Fannie Mae to lower the credit standards even further, thus enabling this huge meltdown that we stand on the precipice looking over going, man, how did we end up here? You know, all of this evidently is not working with the American people. They're not getting it. They're not getting it. Well, how about his ties to radical Islam? Will you get that? All right, we'll take your calls. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage.
I got the message. Could I just say the gentleman is right? The Democrats have been in the majority for the last 2 years. Have you seen any improvement? The point is, but Americans are angry, sir. They are angry and frustrated. And that's why we've got to act, and we've got to act together, because all of us are Americans first. And so I want to promise you again, I will work with anyone who will help fix these terrible challenges that are facing America today. The greatest challenges that we have experienced in our lifetime. And we've got to work together as one nation, indivisible. And I promise you I will do that.
I don't mean to be disrespectful in speaking over Senator McCain, but it ain't working. All right? It's not working. I'm not concerned about you reaching across the aisle and helping Ted Kennedy to his feet and get back in his seat. I'm not concerned about that. I'm not concerned about McCain-Feingold, McCain-Kennedy. I'm not concerned about you reaching across the aisle. I'm not concerned about who you're going to work with and who you'll go to lunch with and who you'll give a carpool ride. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned with keeping a socialist communist out of the White House. You know, took a lot of heat for comparing the rise of Barack Obama to the rise of Adolf Hitler, but the analogy stands, and I stand by the analogy. Read some history. You know, Michael Savage is always telling you, read history. You don't have to be a PhD. You don't have to go to a college. Just read. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Michael, thank you so much. I want you to go to michaelsavage.com. michaelsavage.com. Michael did a major announcement earlier about setting up an exploratory conduit, if you will, through the broadcast of The Savage Nation. The michaelsavage.com will have all the information there about the Savage Nation Party. The Savage Nation Party. It's time. It's way past time for a third party in this country. And if anybody's going to be able to pull this off, Michael Savage is the guy. So go to michaelsavage.com. All the information is there. All right? All right. I'm going to take your calls. I'm upset with McCain. I'm sure that doesn't keep him up at night. But a lot of us are upset. A lot of us don't want a socialist in the White House. I'm Rick Roberts, in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Always a pleasure to sit in for Michael from time to time. Toll free everywhere, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Again, I can't tell you too often, you need to go to michaelsavage.com. Michael made a very major announcement about exploring the possibilities of a third political party, and God knows we need one. The Savage Nation Party. It's all at michaelsavage.com. So I urge you to go there. Make out some time today somewhere, someplace. You know, shut the door, shut the windows, you know, whatever you have to do, and get some time to sit down to michaelsavage.com. Also, Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. I'm going to try to put at least one or two of those in your hands in the time remaining. michaelsavage.com. And, of course, you can find out all about the books there. Michael's had four previous bestsellers, and I'm sure Psychological Nudity will be the fifth bestseller, a collection of a lot of stories you've heard here on The Savage Nation. Some you've heard, some will be new to you, but great, great, great read. Let's go to Sean. Sean in Portland. Sean, thanks for waiting. You're on The Savage Nation.
I'm a conservative, grew up in Nevada. I'm living here in Portland, which, you know, is kind of a liberal mecca in our nation.
Kind
of. I've been preaching to my friends for quite some time, over a year now, that we need to move all those guys out, not just some guys, all those guys out. With the third party, if we could get elected, go in just by law or decree, get rid of the paper shredders from Washington from the day after the election, move all those guys out. It's public offices. Go through every piece of paperwork there, every single lobbyist out. Go through all and trace out all the paperwork and prosecute each and every one of those guys. I don't care where the chips fall.
Well, Sean, that's the attitude that's going to have to prevail if anything's going to be done. You know, Barack Obama talks a lot about change without giving any specifics as to what that change is. Another guy did that, and a lot of people bought into it. You know, he's going to change. Everything's going to change. The middle class is going to change. Government is going to change. You know, the people will be empowered. The world perception of the country will change. It's going to be all about change. It's about change. The status quo, it's out the window. We're going to have change. You know what? The people bought it, and he rose to power, and it was Adolf Hitler. Now, if you take some umbrage with me about making that analogy, I simply ask you to do what Michael asks you to do all the time. Pick up a book, read it, go online. I mean, there's no reason for anyone on planet Earth not to have the information they seek. It's too readily available. Whether it's William Ayers or whether it's the birth certificate issue or the Kenyan ties or, I don't know, the list is way too long and lengthy. I never thought that the American people would fall this fast and this hard for such a scam. I never thought it possible. And that doesn't mean I believe that the other side of the political aisle in the person of Senator John McCain is sterling silver. I don't. I'm voting for him for one reason, to keep Barack Obama out of the White House. Martha in San Francisco. Martha, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Martha?
Pleasure. I'm calling from the left coast, and I'm very concerned about a comment that Barack Obama made at the debate that I haven't heard people talking about. He stated quite clearly that health care is a right. Now, in the Constitution, it says the government shall make no law interfering with rights which come from the Creator. So this is completely unconstitutional, and I can't believe that anyone is even considering that we should make new rights, such as health care.
Well, as Michael often says, liberalism is a work in progress. I mean, you change and bend and discard rules, regulations, and parameters as they become stumbling blocks to your particular agenda. Martha, you're absolutely right. What, you know, I told you I listened to that that entire debate very late in the evening. I'd been traveling on a plane all day. I got in very late, and I turned on a replay of the debate, watched it in its entirety, and I tried to watch or listen with an unbiased ear and unbiased eye to the degree I could. Every time Barack Obama avoided a question, he came out with some socialist diatribe. And I could not believe it. It's like he doesn't even care. You know, there's an elephant in the room and it's sitting on your lap and you don't even care. Martha, what Martha's talking about, Tom Brokaw, which should be banned from the airwaves forever, based on that dismal showing in the debate, that basically said, gentlemen, do you believe health care is a right, a responsibility, or a privilege? Barack Obama, as you correctly said, Martha, said it was a right. Now, I've read the Constitution actually more than once, and the Bill of Rights. I see nothing in there about health care. John McCain said it was responsibility. I agree with that. If you are a parent, you should be responsible to have health care insurance, if at all possible, on your child. Now, I don't know, maybe you're of some religious faith. I don't know. That's none of my business. And you know what? If it's none of my business, it's sure no business of the government. You know, under Barack's plan, if you're a parent and you don't insure your child, there's a monetary fine attached to that. I'm sorry. That's socialism. Pure, unadulterated socialism. That is not to say I want children to walk around without health care. Obviously not. What I'm saying is it's no business of the government, just like you're saying. Derek in New York. Derek, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, sir.
I got two quick points. I'm a 26-year-old disabled veteran from the initial invasion in Iraq. I was wounded. And I woke up this morning before work, and I turned on the news, and there was a picture of Mr. William Ayers and standing on my American flag and your American flag. And it disgusts me that people in the United States are looking at that and not seeing he is standing on that flag that I lost friends for and that I was wounded for. Number two, in that debate, Barack Obama was asked, and John McCain was asked by someone in the audience, if they both would use military action against people violating human rights. They both said yes. I met an Iraqi individual while I was over there who had had three of his fingers cut off by Saddam Hussein because he was losing soccer games. That was ordered by Uday, and this guy personally told me that. Is that human rights? And would he, if he had disagreed with the war, how is that? How is he going to use military action? That's why we went there. He was a dictator who needed to be taken out. Why didn't that bring up, be brought up by John McCain?
Derek, first of all, and I mean this with all sincerity, thank you for the service to this country. We owe you. I don't know what else to say. We owe you. And we certainly owe you much better than what you're seeing in this political election cycle in the last 26 days. I don't know where John McCain is. I don't know where the fighter is. But I know this, all the boots that are still on the ground deserve more. They deserve more of a fight than John McCain is putting up right now. John McCain needs to pull out all the stops. I mean, use whatever term, take the gloves off, take it to him. I don't care what you call it, but you've got to at least act like you want to win this thing. You know, I'm not concerned about how many Democrats you can be friends with. At this particular point, it doesn't matter. And I don't know why he's hung up on that, but it started in the primaries. You know, well, I don't really care too much about an old terrorist. Well, a lot of other people do. And a lot of people fighting the war on terror abroad care about that. You know, McCain needs to, if he cares at all about winning this election, starting today, right now, he needs to tell every one of his handlers. You know, Michael was raising the theory that, you know, he's perhaps being undermined by his handlers. That's the best thing I've heard so far. That's the only thing that makes sense. No more Mr. Nice Guy, all right? You can't – nice guys don't even show up in the same zip code, let alone come in second or third in a race like this. You've got a socialist slash communist, domestic terrorist befriending, Kenyan-loving, Islamic, radical Islam-supporting individual a whisper away from the White House. You know, God rest their souls, I was raised by my grandparents, but I'm glad they're not here to see this. You know, that generation worked hard, they sacrificed, they did everything they could possibly do to leave a better place than when they found it. Can you imagine what they would be thinking right now? When a person like Barack Obama, and I don't know the guy personally, I'm not indicting him personally, I'm saying, you know, I can read, I can add two and two and pretty much at the time come up with four, and when I look at what is there in the historical record, it tells me, what is he doing running for the White House? Or for that matter, what William Ayer is doing as a college professor. You know, you reminded me of something. I have a good friend, Osama Georges. Osama Georges was a high-ranking military official under Saddam Hussein. Now, before you go, oh, my God, well, you know, how could you be friends with him? Well, if you know anything about the area, you know that there were several layers of military under Saddam Hussein's control. You know, his inner circle, then the Republican Guard, and then the military itself. Osama Georges was ordered by Saddam's cousin to shell a bordering village. And he said, well, wait a minute, I don't really need to do that. I can get him to pull back. And he did that, as he will tell you, selfishly, because his wife and kids went through there all the time. He didn't know if they were there or not. There was no need to kill all these innocent people. He goes, let me see if I can work it out. He left his post, went over, worked it out. They withdrew their troops. He called him back and said, no problem, everything's done. He said, too late. You disobeyed an order from one of Saddam Hussein's cousins. If you want to live, you better not show up. Well, long story short, he had to flee the country. They went to his 80-year-old father's home, drug his 80-year-old father out, dragged him out of his home, took him in and tortured him, and then finally killed him. And took him back to the doorstep for his elderly mother to take care of, and then charged her for it. So you would have a pretty tough time trying to convince him that we haven't been able to do anything in Baghdad. I'm sorry. You know, I am so over these arguments with these empty-headed liberals when it comes to, oh, we should never go to Iraq. And then in the same breath, they want to tell me about their version of human rights. I'm sorry. It just doesn't play anymore. It doesn't play anymore. But what does play, we've got 26 days to turn something around that looks like it's got a pretty good head of steam. That's a socialist slash communist, in my opinion. A whisper away from the White House. San Francisco, Jeff. Jeff, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
Very well, sir.
There's a volatile whirlwind of topics going around that on conservative radio and conservative media that the main media doesn't speak of, and I'd like to toss one more into that, and that is the $700 billion bailout. Who controls that account, and who's going to get the interest off of that $700 billion?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to Paulson, a guy that should be behind bars, in my opinion, right now, he's directing the bailout, and he just named another guy to be in the trenches where the money flows. The guy was an executive with Goldman Sachs. Now, I'm sorry, talking about asking the fox to guard the hen house after all the chickens have been slaughtered, this makes absolutely no sense to me, Jeff, none whatsoever. This is the problem with our government. You know, I went on this rant, a year or so ago about I want my country back. And, you know, people have said, I want a copy of that. There is no copy. It was just off the top of my head. It was just, I'd hit the proverbial wall. I was sick of it all. I was sick of getting played. I was sick of getting, the bums rush from, quite honestly, both sides of the aisle. And I want my country back in the sense that I want someone to look me in the eye, and when they tell me something, follow through. And if they don't, realize that they can lose their job. They're working for us. But see, that's not the way it is right now. You know, Michael says it all the time. We don't live in a free country. Well, if you don't believe that, check that bailout figure again and check out who's responsible for coming up with that money. It's you. It's you. I just wish Michael's Savage Nation party was already in existence, and we would be sending a message so loud and so clear to everyone inside the Beltway, they would be afraid to walk across the street without first asking your permission. That's where we need to get to. That's where we need to be. Mario in Houston, Texas. Mario, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Mario.
How you doing?
Doing very well.
Yeah, and I was wondering about your psychological nudity book.
Actually, that is Michael Savage's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, A Collection of All His Stories. Can you tell me one story you're looking forward to in Psychological Nudity, Michael's book?
I love Tippy the Dog.
And see, it even made you laugh, didn't it? Just thinking about it made you laugh. Yeah. Mario, I'll tell you what, you stand by. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to make sure you get a copy of Michael Savage's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, a collection of all the stories that he's talked about on the show. Some of them you've heard parts of. Maybe you've heard friends talk about them. Some of these you haven't heard at all. Tippy the Dog, that's the one you're looking for, Mario. I'll tell you what, you'll find it in Psychological Nudity. You stand by. We'll get all your information. Make sure you get a copy of that book. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you, sir, once again. And you're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I appreciate the opportunity once again. Toll free everywhere, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Well, if you missed it, let me have the pleasure of telling you, Michael Savage has announced today he is going to be exploring all of the things necessary to begin a third party. He says he wants to be the architect of this third party, the Savage Nation party. Certainly the time is right. Honestly, given what we're dealing with right now, with 26 days away from the election, I wish the Savage Nation Party was already in existence. I think it would be sending a message loud and clear to the Democrats and Republicans. Sorry, business as usual is over. So if you want more information on that, and Michael, of course, will be talking about it, but if you want more information right now, go to michaelsavage.com. That's michaelsavage.com. All the information about the Savage Nation Party is there, along with the other unfiltered news, the truth, if you want it, if you can handle it. Also, Psychological Nudity, Michael's fifth book. We'll try to get another one of those in your hands here in just a moment or two. Let's go to Randy in Illinois. Randy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Randy?
Thank you very much. I'm a Democrat calling from Illinois, and I'm calling to support Mr. Savage's idea for a third party. I'm absolutely convinced that the purpose of both parties, actually, is to self-perpetuate their own existence and either to stay in power or to yank power from the other party. And both Republicans and Democrats act like they're 800-pound gorillas with a ravenous appetite for our tax dollars. And I fully agree that the time has come. There needs to be some sort of loud counterbalance to the self-perpetuating Congress. I don't even think Obama and is the real culprit here. I think it is the culture of Washington, which has created its own self-perpetuating disease at the expense of the American public.
Randy, I couldn't have said it better. I'm glad you didn't call in the very beginning of the show. I would have had nothing else to say. That's right. You're absolutely right. And if you recall, when Michael simply mentioned in passing, you know, I ought to run, I ought to jump in this race. What happened? Millions of people jumped on board saying, yes, do it. Can you imagine the response to the third party that Michael is talking about? Can you imagine the response? Well, you can find out more at michaelsavage.com. Patrick in New York, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Patrick?
Hello?
Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I am petrified of the fact that Obama might actually get in. It's very scary.
Well, you should be scared. You should be very scared. And quite honestly, I'm not only afraid of that possibility, of that reality, but I am more confused than ever before about the state of the American people. It's like they're all walking around laboring under a sad misconception. You know, get a hold of the, just because you're not seeing it on the 5 o'clock news on the lamestream media outlets does not mean it is not something that is truthful and that needs to be weighed before you cast a ballot in a free society. Patrick, very good point. What's your favorite Michael Savage story that you can give me off the top of your head?
First, I think My Silent Brother.
The Silent Brother. Excellent, excellent story. Patrick, you stay right where you are. I'm going to make sure you get a copy of Michael Savage's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. You heard Michael earlier. The first shipments are now coming in. Michael's fifth book, the previous four, all bestsellers, and I'm sure this one will be as well. It's a great, great read, a compilation of all the stories you've heard on the Savage Nation, Psychological Nudity. Along with the Savage Nation party information, you can get information on the Michael's new book. Go to michaelsavage.com. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.